Welcome to the Everyday Ultra Podcast, a show designed to help you level up your training, crush your races, and ultimately become a better endurance athlete every single day. Whether you're an endurance athlete as a hobby or someone who wants to be the best in the sport, this is the show for you. I'm your host, Joe Corcione, and thank you so much for listening. Now, let's get into it. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Everyday Ultra Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Corcione, and this episode is going to be so awesome because we are talking all about pushing through pain, pushing through discomfort, pushing through those mental lows that will inevitably hit us in an ultra marathon, right? And whether you've been on long runs, whether you have raced ultras in the past, or maybe you've just, you know, are curious about the sport and you've seen on the documentaries and the videos on YouTube of people just going through massive, massive challenges in the ultra marathons, one of the biggest things that is going to help you to hit your biggest ultra running goals is mastering the art of how to navigate forward despite feeling uncomfortable, despite feeling pain, despite feeling the mental lows, both physically and mentally, that are going to come up inevitably in the end of an ultra marathon. Because here's the reality. Physically, you can nail your training. You can have the best endurance in the world. You can have the best aerobic fitness. But I've seen even some of the best athletes in the world physically crumble when it comes to ultra marathons because they didn't get the muscle behind their ears correct, which is the mind. And that's exactly what we're going to cover in this episode. And I'm going to cover things that not only, you know, I've used in my various 100 milers and 50 milers and 50 Ks and 100 Ks that I've used to help me get to the finish line of every race that I've towed the line on, but also to things that are proven from other athletes who are great in the sport, scientific studies, psychological studies, all these things. And so this is going to be a very, very awesome episode and one that's going to help you level up your training. So I'm super, super excited for it. Before we dive into this episode, though, I want to give a shout out to something that's been game changing in my training. And it actually kind of relates to this episode a little bit, but more so in the realms of physical pain management. And this is something that I've been using to help me tackle sore muscles, muscles that just feel fatigued when I'm on my long runs, in my races, and on my training efforts where I'm putting in a lot of volume. Because let's be honest, if we're sore, if our muscles aren't cooperating, if we're getting that soreness that is hindering us from really, really going at the pace that we want to in a long run or a race itself, it's going to hold us back. And so for me, I've dealt with very extremely leg soreness in the past when I've raced several 100 milers and other ultra marathons. And this tool has helped me to not only get better control of the leg soreness, but ultimately allowing me to perform better, feel better, and ultimately recover better. And that is the spray from Play On Relief. So Play On Relief is a topical pain relief spray that actually goes to work inside the muscles and the joints at the source and not just the skin level to help you reduce soreness when you're on your long runs or in your races as well. It's unlike CBD cream or Icy Hot that just focuses on the topical cooling of the skin itself. And this actually gets into the source to tackle inflammation where it's at too. It's completely rub-in free, so you just spray it on and you just go. It's waterproof, so it stays on even if you're sweating, even if you are topical cooling in the hotter months, and it's easy to carry around in a simple bottle as well. I've been using this on all my training runs, all my long runs, and also post-run as well to help me recover after big training weeks to help me hit my next workout as hard as possible, and it's just been a game changer when it comes to my training as well. And because I love this product so much, I want to give you a discount for Play On Relief to try it out for yourself. And it's a 20% discount when you go to playonrelief.com or the link in the show notes and use code EverydayUltra at checkout for 20% off. It's super affordable, super cheap, and ultimately super powerful as well. So you can try it for 20% off by going to playonrelief.com or the link in the show notes. Use code EverydayUltra at checkout to get 20% off your order. Man, I really, really suggest that you try this out so you can get your muscles primed and ready to rock for your next training session and during your races. So give it a try and keep playing on, my friends. All right, now let's get through this episode. These are going to be mental tools to help you overcome pain in an ultra, right? Because we've all been in those moments, right? Because in those moments when you're hit with discomfort, whether it's early on in a race or whether it's in the late stages of the race or whether it's any point in the race, even in our long runs, those are decisions that we can make in that moment, whether to move forward or whether to quit or whether to go slower or anything like that. Those are conscious decisions. And even though it might not seem like conscious decisions, because our brain is telling us every reason why we shouldn't go forward, every reason why we should stop, every reason why, you know, we can't handle these things, there are things that you can do to help and circumnavigate your brain so that you can ultimately be stronger in the end of the day. And when you implement these things and really get control of not just your mind, but have your mind work for you as opposed to against you, that is going to ultimately... Now, to set the table with what we mean by pain, I'm, for the most part in this podcast, going to pretty much talk about getting through typical discomfort, soreness, general fatigue that you get in an ultramarathon. Now, if you're, the longer the distance you go or the longer the distance that you've gone relative to, you know, what you've done in the past, the more even this acute fatigue can really build up and be very, very daunting. But when it comes to pain that is starting to get closer to injury or any of those things as well, I think it's very, very important to not get confused with the message here to say like, push through injury and everything like that. Like, that is not what I'm saying. Like, if you are injured in your training, please take the proper precautions to heal yourself as well. When it comes to race time, though, I do get questions all the time from people who ask, hey, when should I stop? Or when is there a reasonable point where I'd have to stop based on the pain? And listen, while I can go out and give you the David Goggins response and be like, you must do whatever it takes, or I can give you the other kind of cliched response, which is, if you're going to get injured, like, please stop, right? Both of those answers have been tossed around the endurance world. And here's actually an answer on generally what I would suggest for anyone asking this question. First and foremost, in the middle of training, when you're training for things, if you are starting to feel like a niggle or starting to feel like the early onset of an injury, you need to take care of that ASAP. And generally, like, you'll know, like, when you get like a persistent kind of niggle or issue or pain that's kind of coming on, that is not something that you should inherently push through. Now, most physiotherapists agree, and I agree with this as well. If the pain is a less than a 4 out of 10 on the pain scale, you can continue to train through it. As long as you are taking recovery measures in your strength training, recovery, things like that. But if it's greater than a 4 out of 10 or a 4 out of 10 or greater, I should say, that is a cause where you need to inherently stop. So when it comes to training and there is a risk of injury, that is something where something needs to be modified and stopped. Now, when it comes to a race, right? When it comes to a race, let's just say you've been putting in the training and, you know, midway through, you know, you're facing this extreme pain that could potentially be injury thing. Here's the thing. And this is just really a personal preference thing, because in the end of the day, you need to decide what's important from you for a value perspective. What's important for you from a value perspective of this specific race? Do you want to have this mindset where you're saying, hey, I want to have longevity in the sport. I don't want to do anything stupid that's going to cost me like future races. So if I do ever get to the point of injury, I will stop. Great. That's awesome. Now, if you have this like burn the boats mindset where it's just kind of like, fuck it, like I will die before I, you know, DNF in this ultra, right? And like, you'll kind of do whatever it takes, kind of the David Goggins approach. For me personally, I'm not as much of that mindset, but for some people, like, this might be the only ultra marathon you do, or you're really looking to get like a big specific goal. If that is what is important to you in the race setting, then that's going to be the decision that you have to make in it yourself. So I think before you even start to apply the tools and the tactics and the strategies in terms of like what you're going to push through in the middle of a race, you need to decide what your values are and like when the quote unquote breaking point is. Usually for me, like, I always tell myself, if I'm going to be at the point where there's going to be a significant injury for me in the middle of a race, I will DNF. I will not like go on, just because for me, I want longevity in the sport. I want to have long-term goals, and I'm not willing to sacrifice my whole running career for one race, right? So that's generally my thing as well. I will push through like acute fatigue and small things and like muscle soreness, like no tomorrow. I will fight like hell to push through that too. But if something incredibly serious is coming up, like broken bones or, you know, just loss of limb, I don't know, that's very extreme. I'm not saying that happens, but then I will generally stop. That's my value system. So you need to define the value system for yourself as well before a race. Most of the context and pretty much all the context of what I'm going to talk to in this is going to be pushing through like non-injury pain in the middle of an ultra marathon. Like, I'm just talking like that you know, general soreness and everything like that too. So I wanted to set the table and also wanted to clarify that I'm not suggesting by this whole episode to push through injury and push through things at all costs, right? It really just matters on your value system and what you're looking to do in that as well, right? So that's just something I want to mention. And and I'll give you an example just real quick. Like there was one time where I really wanted to do a string of ultra triathlons in a row and, not ultra triathlons, one ultra triathlon and two, Ironman level triathlons. And at the third one, I was pretty much going through like this terrible IT band syndrome. And at the moment I just wanted to finish the challenge knowing that it was going to take me more time to recover afterwards, but I knew it wasn't going to be a long-term injury. And I went to a physiotherapist to get that checked out, to get it, you know, assessed, to be like, hey, am I going to screw myself up long-term? If the answer was going to be yes, then I wasn't going to do it. But all the PT said, yeah, you can do this thing, but you're going to have to delay recovery for a few more months. But you're not going to screw yourself up long-term. And I was like, all right, great. I'm going to go ahead and do it. And then I've had, you know, some races where, you know, I just didn't feel it, or, you know, I felt like I was not going in 100%. And I didn't want to risk like putting training on the back burner like after that as well. So I didn't go through with it. So just saying, you want to define your value systems with what you're doing in the moment, but that doesn't mean, you know, push through injury at all costs. Like, please, that's what I'm trying to say here. Anyways, let's get through this whole thing here as well. Now, let's just talk about what pain really is, right? And let's just talk what the role of pain is, because I think it's very important to understand the role of pain, because we all know pain, it hurts, it sucks, like it comes up and it's just like, man, like this, like anytime we feel pain, we want to get rid of it. And that is a very biological response, because pain, what it essentially is a signal to our brain that we are in danger in some way, shape, or form physically, right? And so our muscles are sore and so they need to rest. So therefore we get this uncomfortable feeling that sends to our brain that's like, hey, you need to stop. Or, you know, you have pain like in a specific area because it's being overworked, or maybe you just feel overly tired and like you kind of have like this like mental pain, and that is giving a signal to your brain to saying like, hey, like we need to conserve some energy and we need to stop. So pain is inherently to our biological system, a mechanism that is designed to help us conserve energy in the end of the day, to conserve energy, to recover, because our brain's role in our mind is to keep us safe and to keep us alive. And anything that's going to risk, according to our brain, that perception of safety, then it's going to do whatever it can to make us stop. So let's just think about it like in the context of an ultra marathon. If you're running like 100 fucking miles, which in the end of the day, like I know some of you listening have done 100 miles before, it's a long fucking time. Like regardless, whether or not you've done it before or not, like it's still a long time. And if we're running for 100 miles, right, maybe around 50 or 60, wherever, you might start to feel like this overwhelming, just like soreness in your legs or anything like that. And what that's telling to your brain is like saying like, oh my gosh, like they're in danger of dying. They really, like the brain literally thinks you're about to die. So what does it do? It starts to throw in a bunch of signals to you, like, and when I say you, I mean like your conscious self, that you need to stop, right? It might be throwing thoughts of like, this is too hard, or you can't do this, or you're not good enough to finish this. What are you kidding me? Like, it's going to throw all these negative thoughts. So all those negative thoughts that are being thrown at you in the moment is literally just your brain trying to keep you safe so you can stop and, quote unquote, to your brain, stay alive and conserve energy in the end of the day, right? So that is basically what's happening every time that there's pain, is all those negative thoughts coming at you are just your brain signal to try and get you to stop because it thinks you're going to die in that scenario, which is obviously freaking ridiculous once you say it out loud. But it's a very powerful thing to know, because it is a ridiculous thing, and we know that our brain, for the most part, is overreacting when it comes to these kind of situations, right? Because listen, like, and I think this becomes inherently easier the more that you do these endurance challenges, right? Because like, even so, like I remember the first time I saw, like heard of people doing like 50 miles. And in my head, I was like, do people like die doing these things? Like, do a lot of people die? Or like that's like kind of like the perception. And then you go ahead and do it and you're like, wait, I'm still alive and I recovered back and I came back stronger. Like, oh my gosh. So I do think like your brain, the way that the brain learns gets to know that, you know, more so that you're not going to die in the moment. However, when you do get the moments where you do feel all this pain and discomfort, it still takes that pain and discomfort as a signal, right? So it does definitely get easier the more that you do these things. But in the end of the day, like, I've gone through multiple 100-mile races, multiple ultra marathons, and in every single one, I've gotten to that point where, you know, in my brain, like, it tries to get me to stop. And when that voice is too loud and too convincing, that is the moment where a lot of people start to DNF or drop or go slower or anything like that. And I think the most powerful thing to recognize is that mechanism of the brain, because, like I said before, it is ridiculous. It thinks you're going to die. Like, even just saying that out loud is just so dumb, knowing that you're likely not going to die in these things as well. So just knowing that is powerful. But here's the other thing that makes it so powerful, and one of the key things that I have learned, like, and not just like my ultra running career, but also like going through getting sober from Adderall and alcohol and, you know, completing these other challenges in my life. It's like, you know, anytime like my brain throws negative thoughts at me, it is a signal to try and keep me safe, and it is not me. It is not me thinking those things. It is my brain thinking those things. And a lot of, like, one of the things that really just blew my mind, like, the first time that really helped to conceptualize this concept was I was at a seminar once. It was a Tony Robbins seminar. Say what you want about him. Some people hate him. Some people love him. He's personally just, I'm a huge fan of his work. But regardless, the point still is very powerful. I was at the seminar, and it's fully packed to the brim. There's tons of people there. I believe it was like the Brooklyn Nets arena. And it was fully sold out. There's you know, people in seats everywhere. I think like over like 10,000 people or whatever. And Tony's on stage and he's talking. He's like, okay, like, who here has had the thought that they're not good enough? And every single person in the place raised their hand. He's like, who here has ever had the thought that they're not going to make it, or they don't have what it takes to succeed? Like, every single hand went up. And he goes, oh, that's interesting. If every single one of you had these thoughts, how can these thoughts be yours? How can they be your thoughts? Like, if everybody's having these thoughts, how can they be your specific thoughts? And that's when it dawned on me to say, like, oh my gosh, like, this isn't Joe's thoughts. This isn't, if you're listening, your thoughts. Like, it's just a signal from your brain trying to keep you safe. And once you realize that, then it's like, oh wow, like, I totally can just take these as signals, and it's not me. Because the reason why thoughts do get so much power over us, like that, like those negative thoughts, like, I can't go on, or like, this is too hurtful, or anything like that, is because we, number one, believe them to be true, and we, number two, believe that we're the ones saying those things. And many times, and I've been there before, like, you know, you can feel bad about feeling these thoughts, or you're like, why am I having these thoughts? Like, oh my gosh, like, blah, blah, blah. So I'm here to say a few different things. Number one, those thoughts are not you. They're just your brain trying to keep you safe. And once you can detach from those thoughts, that's the first step in taking control on your actions that you can do when you're in the midst of pain. So that's number one. Number two, those thoughts only have power over you if you believe them to be true. So if the thoughts are, I'm not good enough, I can't get through that, and you genuinely believe that to be true, then that's going to have an impact on how you act on it, because you're believing that to be true. So that's the second thing on there too, is like, you know, there's that. And then the third thing is, these thoughts are completely normal to have. They're completely normal. I've interviewed many world championship athletes on this podcast, and I will tell you, every single one of those athletes have faced those thoughts in a race, even at their prime. But again, it's not whether or not you have the thoughts, it's how you react to the thoughts that help you to go forward in your life. And I think so many times, like, it can be easy to have those thoughts and feel bad about having those thoughts and feel weak about having those thoughts and being like, oh my gosh, like, I have these thoughts, like, what am I, like, a piece of shit or something? And it's like, it doesn't matter that you have the thoughts, because everybody has them. Because number one, they're not your thoughts, so, you know, you don't have to identify with them. And at the same time, it's just signals for your brain, which every single person in the entire world has. So don't feel bad about having those thoughts. They're normal. And when those thoughts come up, then you have to be able to make a conscious decision of what to do with those thoughts, aka not believe them, so that you can have more power. Now, there is a practical way to do that, which I will go into, but that's just a real, real important thing to really think about. And here's the reality. Like, you know, for me, like, I've done tons of personal development work. I've done ultra marathons. Like, I've done all this stuff as well. And for me, like, I still get that voice in my head. Like, I even still get the voice, like, on the podcast being like, sometimes, you know, it's interesting. Like, I'll, like, finish a podcast and, like, my brain will go, man, I don't even know if that was that good. Or, you know, I'll go on a long run, which I nail and I hit PRs and like all of a sudden I'm like, eh, like my brain's like, eh, it might not be that good. Like we all have these negative thoughts that pop up, even the person behind the mic that you're listening to right now. So never feel bad about it. And it's not about quieting the mind. It's not about reducing the thoughts that you have. It's about dealing with them as you come up. And once you make that realization, it becomes so much easier to manage the pain. Because here's the thing in the end of the day too, right? When your brain is trying to keep you safe, it's going to volley these thoughts at you. And that's what you need to decide to do with them as well. So that's the big thing that it comes up to. So I really think like one of the biggest practices that you can do when you're on a long run that's especially difficult, one that's especially going to challenge you to your limits, right? Like, and this is why like I like the long runs, because you can practice a lot more of that acute fatigue over long periods of time, whereas like your weekly runs, and even your interval runs, if you're doing those, like intervals are such a different kind of pain, right? Like intervals are like that intense, like push it, balls to the wall kind of pain. And for the most part in ultra marathons, you're not going to experience that kind of discomfort, but your long runs are probably going to be pretty dang close to it. I truly suggest that when you're in those moments, or the quote unquote pain cave, as Courtney DeWalter famously calls it, right? Whatever you want to call it, when you're in the hurt locker, I love that one. Like I say that one a lot. It's like, I'm in the hurt locker right now. When you're in that space, honestly, I think like the best thing to do is just like take a look inside your mind. What's going on in there? What are the thoughts? What are the things coming at you? Are you believing these things? Like what is going on in your mind? Like really uncover those things. It's opening up that closet and seeing like all the shit that's in there and what's really going on, because that is going to allow you to get a look at what's probably going to launch at you in the middle of an ultra marathon. And sometimes you might have things go on in your mind that, you know, in an ultra that you never get in a training run, like that's the reality. But it's just the practice of being aware of those things in the middle of the hurt locker that can help you to crush it once it comes up. So on your long run, I totally suggest getting good at being aware of your thoughts that come in, because generally, we're, for the most part, it can be easy to not be aware of those things and just subconsciously just take those things to be true and then have it have power over us. And really it's in there as well. Like, I mean, that's why like meditation is so powerful. And listen, if you want to meditate, that's great. I used to meditate a lot. I don't anymore. But meditation is a great practice because it allows you to see thoughts for what it is, not silence the thoughts, which is a big misconception about meditation. But the whole thing about meditation is noticing thoughts. Like that's really the thoughts at the end of the day. And it's in that awareness where you reduce stress, not because you're quieting the thoughts, but because you are detaching yourself from the thoughts. And when I say detach yourself, I don't mean like disassociate. I mean like you are not identifying as a person with those thoughts and being able to consciously squash them. So that's a big practice that I try to do as well. Also too, where are these thoughts stemming from? That's like the, so I guess to rewind a second before we even dive in any further. Recap. Your thoughts are not you. Your brain's going to throw thoughts at you to try to keep you quote unquote safe. And you need to determine a strategy on how to deal with those thoughts as opposed to quiet them when they come up to help you push through pain. Now, next part here. Why are these thoughts coming up? I think this is a great, great part to realize it. And this will get into the tools of what you can do to inherently reframe, you know, those thoughts that are coming in, which is inherently what the practice is in here, right? So the perception of pain is that it is dangerous inside your body. Like your brain is seeing pain to equal danger. And that is a perception that your mind has of danger itself. This is where it gets like a little wonky here, but follow me for a second here, right? And perception is really the driving force behind why we react to anything we see in life. Anything we see in life has a meaning associated with it. And that meaning is you know, defined by our perception of the thing. And I always draw on this example because I think it's so powerful. Let's just say there was a normal looking animal, like not big, not like, let's just say it was a dog looking animal, right? Like, or let's just use a dog for an example, right? So a dog, right? Normal sized dog, not a big scary dog, just like a, let's go with like Labrador Retriever, right? Let's just say that someone's perception of a Labrador Retriever, which is most people, is like, oh my gosh, like that Labrador Retriever is so friendly, so cute and everything. Like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. If we're running on the trail and we just see a Labrador Retriever like looking all happy and stuff, and our perception of that thing is like, oh, he's so cute and cuddly. Like, oh, like he's amazing. Like you're going to get happy when you see that thing. But let's just say another person, they either got bit by a Labrador Retriever or where maybe they're a place that, you know, they grew up in, which would be a crazy place. They had a perception that Labradors are very dangerous. They're one of the most most dangerous animals in the world. Like, when you get close to that thing, like, it will kill you. Like, something like that. That is so extreme. But again, we're painting an example here. If that person's running on the trail, sees the same exact dog, that person is going to freak the fuck out and is going to be like, oh my gosh, like, I'm in danger, like, blah, blah, blah. Notice how it's the same exact dog, different reactions in different people based on their perceptions. So therefore, if you want to change the way that you react to things, it's not just changing the way that you act, it's the way that you perceive things. Now, unfortunately, this gets a little hairy with pain because pain is like a hardwired thing in our bodies to be perceived by default as our brain as discomfort. However, in the moment between stimulus and response, there is control. That is a quote from Viktor Frankl from the book Man's Search for Meaning, which goes deep into this topic, which, by the way, if you're looking for an inspiring read, that book is a must go to. Just to give you a real like short synopsis, this is a man who went to a concentration camp in Auschwitz in Nazi Germany times. He was with his entire family. His entire family got taken away and killed, and he survived through the whole concentration camp. And he made, you know, a lot of observations on how he kept his mind going, you know, in some of the darkest moments. And he goes through a whole slew of techniques, but one of the big things was he was saying in the moment between stimulus response, there is control. So the stimulus is pain, right? And then our knee-jerk response to that would be like, stop moving, anything like that. But if we can take the stimulus, interrupt that, come in with, you know, what we plan to do, that's where we have control and we can control how we can respond. So we need to switch our perception of pain in that moment to help us to move forward. So you need to break that perception of what pain is, because really in the brain, it's saying pain is bad, pain is danger, pain is this. And this is something that has been so powerful for me to do, to like really get through on to pain as well, right? And I'll talk about like, you know, how to like shift like the thoughts and the negative stuff and everything like that too in a while. But I think it's also just looking at your perception of pain and what does it mean, right? So like for me, and again, when I'm talking about pain, I'm not talking about injury here. I'm talking about just like general pain out there. I think it's really important for you to define your relationship with pain. And what's super interestingly enough, they actually did a scientific study pretty recently where they looked at different ultramarathon athletes who make it through pain. And one of the big determinants of success was seeing the relationship between pain with the runner and the actual feeling of pain that they were experiencing. Most so is that like they make pain their friend. They make pain like something that they can go through. And I'm not just, again, saying injury, but like there's almost like a benefit seeing in the discomfort. And like, although we all know, like if you're listening to this podcast, like and you're ultra running, like you likely subscribe under the idea that, yeah, like when I'm uncomfortable, there's a lot of growth. But in the moment, it's harder to think about those things than not. And so I think it's just so important to define your relationship with pain and like what it means for you. Like for me, like pain is a teacher. Pain is something that allows me to be stronger. And the thing that helps me to really think about those things is, you know, everyone talks about like the diamond analogy, right? A piece of coal under pressure becomes a diamond. I actually saw like another really good analogy, and whether or not it's actually scientifically true, so you know, don't fact check me on this, but I thought it was very interesting, is that, you know, an oyster, when it creates a pearl, it has to be damaged to create a pearl. And a pearl is basically the way that it's created is a response to healing a specific injury or trauma that the oyster has gone through. And so because it has gone through that thing, it creates something beautiful out of it that is admired by all, right? And I think that is just so freaking cool, because like, there's a really, really good quote from a song that I love. It's not a very famous song, but it's by Mike Posner. And it's called Look What I Have Become. But in there, he says a line, says like, there is something gorgeous underneath the pain. And I think that's just so awesome, because anytime like I'm in these ultra marathons or these long runs, I like feel that pain coming up. And I say, okay, there's something good here. There's some growth happening. Like, and I always remind myself, I'm like, this is why I do it. Like, this is why I do it. I do it for the challenge. I do it for the struggle. I do it for like overcoming these things. And like, that is like a good association with that discomfort in the moment. Whereas really, if we let our brain take control, our brain's default thing is like, this is pain, we got to stop. And if we let that take the driver's seat, then ultimately you know, it's going to be like, all right, we're going to stop at this aid station and we're done here. But we need to take back control and we need to remind ourselves. And again, if you're on this podcast, then you genuinely believe that pushing through discomfort is going to lead to growth for you. So therefore, you need to take control when your brain starts being an a-hole and starts pumping out all these things at you to say, this is going to lead me forward in my life. This is going to make me like grow the pearl. It's going to make me into a diamond. It's going to make me to insert your analogy with beautiful things in there. But regardless, it is going to lead to growth in the end of the day. There's even like one famous quote that I think is really, really good. And it paints a good analogy. And that is, pain is just weakness leaving the body. Like, it's a very popular quote for good reason, because it visualizes that pain equals weakness leaving the body, and we don't want to be weak, right? And so finding your perception of pain that aligns with something that's going to move you forward in life and really getting defining by that is huge. And one of the ways to consciously do that is to think about all the times that you struggled in your life, or all the times that you went through like the shit and just like the low moments, and then came out a better person and came out victorious, right? And again, like I always say, like anytime you want to build confidence or anytime you want to build meaning towards something, it's best to root it in actual truths as opposed to just spewing mantras and front of a mirror and just like saying like, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, or pain is good, pain is good, pain is good. Like, yeah, you can say that all you want, but if you don't have actual reason to back it up, your subconscious brain's gonna be like, bullshit. So you gotta sit there and think about like, oh man, like when I think about like the first 100 miler that I ever did, that thing was so fucking painful. Even the day, like the day after that 100 miler, like I even told myself, I was like, I don't know if I like want to do 100 miles. Like that was very long and very painful. And oh my gosh. But then like a day went by and I realized like how much I grew from that experience, how much I learned, like how much I like got through it. And then you know what I did? I signed up for another 100 miler and now it's my favorite distance of all time, right? And I'm sure it's going to be something very similar, Cocodona. But you know, I think over the time you realize that in your most uncomfortable situations lead to the biggest growth in your life, and you need to think about those things so you can have a good relationship with discomfort as opposed to one that's going to have you push it away. Because if you don't define that by default, your brain's going to define it for you, and generally that's not going to lead to a good decision. So excuse me, that was disgusting, but anyways, make sure that you are getting a good relationship with pain so you can break your perception of what that default that your brain has under it. And ultimately, being able to push through in the end of the day is going to be defined by how you see pain itself, right? Hey everybody, just want to take a quick break in this episode because I partnered with a company recently that has just been a game changer when it comes to clothing and apparel that I'm wearing on my long runs. And the one thing that I get frustrated with when it comes to running gear or apparel in general is when it doesn't last long. Whether it rips, tears, or just wears away, it sucks to have to keep buying new stuff. Plus, doing that isn't sustainable for the planet. But I recently started trying this gear that lasts long, has a 5-year guarantee, is super comfortable, has extremely fun colors, which is so important, right? And helps to support clean water programs around the world. The gear is from Jonji, and you gotta check them out. They make high performance running apparel such as shorts, tanks, shirts, jackets, and more, all built to explore the world on the run. Not only do they have a 5-year guarantee where they will replace any product that wears away, but their stuff is super comfortable, breathable, and easy to move in, especially in the winter months when you're bundled up a ton. Plus, 2% of their sales go towards nonprofits working on viable clean water solutions, so it's a way to give back and feel good about where your money is going. They have super bright colors and artwork designed by talented artists all across the world, so you'll stand out on the trail, which is, like I said, one of the most important things. My favorite products have been the Transit Tech Short and the Run All Day Tee. I like the Transit Shorts because they're lightweight, easy to move on my runs, especially when I'm climbing hills or doing faster efforts, because they don't have a liner. And when you don't have a liner, I feel like you can move around a lot better when it comes to doing these faster efforts on the trail. And I love the Run All Day Tee because it feels like you're barely wearing anything out there, which keeps you really, really cool on a hot day and doesn't feel like you're overwhelmed on a cold day as well. So it feels like you're not wearing anything that's holding you down. So I 100% suggest you try out Jonji's clothing. And if you're looking to test drive it, you can get 10% off your order when you use the code EverydayUltra at checkout at Jonji.com. That's spelled JANJI.com. Or you can go to the link in the show notes directly. Use code EverydayUltra to get 10% off your order. And if you're rocking Jonji in your next adventure, let me know and hope you give them a shot. Go to Jonji.com and use code EverydayUltra. All right, everybody, let's get right back into this episode here. Now, regardless, even if you have a good a good relationship with pain, even if you have these things, like you're still, again, going to probably get these negative thoughts that pop up. Like, I don't care like how beneficial you see pain, how beneficial. I've seen people all the time who go out on social media and they're like, I will die before I DNF. And then what do? They DNF. Not because like they're injured or something. They just DNF. Like, and it's like, all right, well, was that really true? I don't know. But I truly think like it's just because like even if we say those things, like we expect that like in the moment it's going to be great. But like I think that's another big powerful thing is just accepting that there's probably going to be some moments of suck throughout. And like that is another thing too as well of like why these thoughts can come up so voraciously is because, you know, we try and block it away. And I'll talk about that in a second. But I think the understanding that there's going to be difficulty also helps to make it a lot better. I truly believe what you can predict, you can prevent. And while you can't prevent the negative thoughts, you can prevent the reactions that are coming through with it by knowing that they are going to come. Because what happens is, and they even showed this in the study for that I was mentioning before, but the earlier that the pain or discomfort settled in relative to the person's expectations of when that was going to settle in, like if there was the biggest mismatch between that, meaning like they felt pain way earlier than they expected it, that leads to a much bigger negative spiral and increased chance of not finishing the race than if they were to hit that uncomfortable point at the point that they expected from it. So I always say, expect it to hurt, but don't give a date on like when you expect it to hurt, right? Because it might hurt a little bit more than normal 10 miles in, right? Like one example, like that a lot of people know of is, you know, my good friend Sally McRae, like God bless her. Like seriously, in the middle of, in the beginning of Cocodona 250, like she got blisters. I think it was like at like mile 8 and she's never had blisters before. And even though in 250 mile races, you can expect to probably get blisters, you know, the furthest you've ever ran before, but she got them at mile 8 and she had a decision in that moment to let the feet control her or she controls the feet and she controls her mind and body. And we all know and love Sally McRae. She was able to push through at the end of the day. So even though like there was something unexpectedly thrown in her way very early on in a race, probably way earlier than our expectations of when a problem was going to come up, she still saw it through to the end because she knows it's going to hurt. But, you know, it's one of those things of there's no attached timeline into when you expect it to be. So just expect it to happen at some point, not a defined point, because if you define the point and you start to have something go wrong or feel like that early on in a race, then, you know, all of a sudden the brain's going to have a lot more negative thoughts and it's going to be true. It's going to be like, well, I thought you were going to hurt at mile 40 and now you're hurting at mile 20. So something must be wrong. And if you look at the logical part of that, I mean, it could potentially be right. But again, I've been even in many ultras where the first 5 miles of my race, I felt terrible. And then I kicked it on towards the end. So like, you know, I think it's just knowing that it won't always get worse and knowing that pain can set in really at any time during an ultra marathon and just accepting that helps you to be more masterful with it as well. So, just having your the only expectation is that it will hurt, but don't put a thing of like when it's going to hurt in terms of like specific timeframes. Just know it will hurt at one time. Now, let's just say you do get to that point, right? You're in the middle of an ultra marathon, right? And all of a sudden, like you get to the point where, yeah, it's starting to get really hard. It's starting to push. It's starting to, you know, starting to set in a little bit more. Here's really the steps that you can really do to break down like all these things as well. And so a lot of times what people will try to do is they will try and like distract themselves or trying to push away the pain or everything like that. And there is some merit to that. I truly believe that, and you know, studies do show that sometimes like being dissociative is what they call it with the pain can help in the moments, right? So distracting yourself with music or distracting yourself with talking with a friend or your pacer or, you know, distracting yourself by taking in the views and the scenery, that stuff can work. However, you cannot do it for the entire race because here's the reality. The more you like try and push it away and disassociate from the specific pain, the louder it's going to get. Because pain, like your brain's trying to send you a signal to be like, hey, Joe, wake up, your legs are hurting, you're in danger. And it's going to get louder and louder and louder and louder until the point where you're just going to be like, shut the F up. And then at that point, it might be too late, right? Or it might just be so overbearing that it slows you down or you have to take a break or something like that too. So the first step, whether or not you're going to dissociate from it or associate from it, is just acknowledge that it is happening. Acknowledge that it's there and be like, I'm hurting right now. I'm in the pain cave right now. You don't have to say it out loud, but just internally, like recognize that, being like, I'm hurting, I'm in the pain cave, everything like that. In fact, my suggestion is not saying it out loud at all, just internally putting that as well. Because there's a really, really powerful quote that I learned from Chad Wright, he's like awesome. He did Cocodona last year. I had him on the podcast. He's great. But he talks about like the whole thing of like your tongue is your rudder. And when you voice things to be true, like you give it a lot more power. So let's just say you are in a ton of pain and you voice it and almost like, you know, not to get too woo here, but speak it into existence, it almost amplifies it as well. So you don't have to like speak it out and be like, I'm hurting, I'm in pain. Like you don't have to like audibly say it, but I don't know why I said that weird, audibly. I said that really weird, didn't I? Anyways, getting too caught up on the weird pronunciation. But anyways, internally just recognize it, make a note of it, be like, okay, I'm hurting right now and that's okay. I'm hurt right now. I'm hurting. Like it is painful. This is really hard, but I'm okay. And I internalize that with myself. And it's in the acknowledgement that you understand that it's there. And if you want to go a step further, sometimes I even go a step further and I say, hey, brain, thanks so much for letting me know that this pain is here. I appreciate you. You're doing your job. Thank you for keeping me safe. Also at the same time, like we're going to be okay. We've done this before. We've been through this before, and even if you haven't been through it before, you can say something like, I know like a lot of people have been through this before, I've trained for this, we can get through this, this is why we're here, we're gonna be good. And you're like, wow, that's a very intense conversation you're having with your brain, or in-depth conversation you're having with your brain. But honestly, that has helped me before in the past. Like, and I've even said that out loud. I said like, hey, brain, like, thanks for doing your job, I appreciate you. We're not gonna die here though, like we're gonna be good, we're gonna be okay. So going back to the voicing thing, if you're going to voice something that's going to move you forward, yes, go ahead and voice that and speak that into existence, right? Because that's going to give you the power to do so. It kind of like brings it into the ether. Anyways, but if you can just acknowledge your brain, thank you for doing your job. Like you're not fighting your brain. You're just like saying like, hey, like, thank you. But we're going to be okay and let's work with it, right? Then it's like finding a way to redirect those thoughts into something beneficial, something that's going to move you forward, right? And so like, let's just say it's something like, oh, I can't go on, right? So if it's saying I can't go on, or I can't keep going, or this is too hard, right? Find a redirect from that thought and either say it out loud or just internalize it and keep repeating it in your head, right? So you can say something like, for example, if I have like, oh my gosh, like this is really hard. If that pops in my head, that pops in my head a lot. Even when I was doing the Cocodona training camp last weekend, and I was doing the first 37 of the course, which is fucking wild, by the way. That's a fucking wild section of the course. In my head, I was like, this is really hard. And I remember redirecting that right away and just being like, but that's why I do it. Or this is really hard. And oh man, I'm learning so much in this moment. Oh, I'm growing so much in this moment. Or that's why I'm doing this, right? So inherently it's like, oh, it's hard. And you're not trying to like fool yourself that it's like easy. But in the end of the day, like you're trying to see the benefit from it. Again, your perception of the difficulty of the pain is what's keeping you forward. So like in those moments is finding a way to redirect it so you can ultimately have a different perception of that thing to keep moving forward as well, right? I know even sometimes like, for me, I mean, I currently love what I do for work. I love being a coach and I love podcasting, but there are some times when I was ultra running where I, quite frankly, hated my job. Not the one before this. Shout out Trainual. They're an amazing company. But before that, I really did not like my job a lot. And again, nothing on the company. It was just more so myself and my own preferences. But I remember being out at my first 50K ever. And that was a brutal 50K for me. And like, it took me like 11 hours to finish. It was wet. It was crazy conditions. It was just, it was gnarly for me. And I remember like in the moment we were climbing up this mountain where there was just like mud slabs like everywhere. And we were slipping and falling. And then we had to like go through this river. And I was just wet and I had blisters. And like, I was just fucked up. And then I remember like feeling like really crappy about myself. And then I remember thinking in my head, I was like, this is so much better than like being at work, right? Like this is so much better than that. Like I'd much rather be doing this than be at work. And that gives you much more appreciation for the thing, right? In the end of the day. And so it's finding ways to reframe that moment to get out of that poopy pants mentality of like, oh, this sucks, this is hard, like blah, blah, blah. Because if you're saying like, this sucks, it's hard, like generally, and like that's having a negative impact, it's generally because like you have this perception, and your brain usually has this perception, I should say, of you, of that pain and sucking just not being something that's moving you forward. But once you can flip that, then you ultimately be able to do it. One thing I even say a lot, and I even said this in the Cocodona training camp, even at the times like when I was, I want to say like, I didn't face too many low moments, but like there was definitely a low moment where I was by myself on the top of this mountain. There's like bear poop and like it was just like, really cold, and it was like a sketchy situation in my eyes. And I remember like my brain like almost like starting to throw some thoughts at me. And I just remember saying, I was like, I'm just so lucky to be out here. I'm so grateful to be out here. Like, this is awesome. Like, this is why we do it, right? And I just felt so much better. And even though like in the moment, like I still felt tired and I still felt like the pain in the legs, like there was a benefit attached to it. So it's really all the time trying to find the good at those things as well, right? And a lot of the times, again, it goes back to like the expectation. It's like the expectation is like, you know, we want it to feel good. We want it to do those things. And, you know, one of my favorite quotes of all time that I think about in Ultra is like, trade your expectations for your appreciation, your whole life will change. And so in those moments, like I just turned to appreciation and gratitude for the moment and gratitude for this. Like, it's actually, they were just showing some neurological studies that it's actually impossible to feel anger. It's impossible to feel sadness. It's impossible to feel like a lot of negative emotions when you are grateful. And I know it sounds like so cheesy and just so like, you know, fucking cliche personal development nowadays. Be grateful for all you have. I know. Like, I'm not ripping on those people, but like, you know, I'm not trying to be another person being like, oh, be grateful and your whole life will change. Like, that's like not what I'm trying to throw out. But I will say it does help you in the middle of an ultra just to be grateful for the thing. And you start to feel really, really good for the moment as well. So the whole thing with these mental tools is to just like really, really redirect those thoughts, change the association with pain, remind yourself of those things. And again, like if you have your pain relationship defined earlier on, this becomes a lot easier because you're able to have it really backed into that as well. One way to also, if like your mind just keeps spinning, and like sometimes I've had that where like I'm trying to throw it out and like the mind just keeps spinning and throwing at like all this bullshit at me, and like, you know, you keep trying to say like, oh, this is great, like I'm grateful and blah blah blah, but like it just keeps kind of hammering back. Here is a really, really really, really powerful thing that I do that helps me out. There's two powerful things. The first thing is saying like, okay, fine, like you're miserable brain, like I get it, you're miserable brain, then you want to get out of pain, like let's get out of pain. And I always say this mantra is, the faster I go, the sooner I will finish. And so I'm like, okay, great, you want to get out of pain, well, let's go through and get through this as fast as possible. And so like use like, and that doesn't mean like rip it in like mile 40 of a 100-mile race and like burn your engine out. That's not what I'm saying here, but like it's going to at least have you move forward so you can get closer to the pain. And that it, your brain's going to cooperate. It's going be like, oh yeah, you're right, like sure, because you've already made the agreement with your brain to saying like, yeah, we're gonna make this pain stop, but you're gonna do it on my terms, where we're gonna finish this fucking thing. Like, we're not gonna do it on your terms, we're gonna go to the aid station and clock out and just go fucking back home. Like, and so that's like a big thing as well. And so I tell myself, the faster I go, the sooner I will finish. And my brain goes, all right, great, we're working together, we're making this happen, and we're going to go in there as well. So that is a big tool. I pretty much say that on every single race that I've done, like literally every race that I've done, I've said that, and it's helped me a ton. So that's one big tool that's helped a ton. The second big tool that's helped a ton is consulting your future self. And I'll tell you where I learned about this strategy and something that I think about a lot. So I've never officially DNF'd a race. However, the one time that I did quote unquote DNF, I was going for a through hike that I was, it was, you know, we were putting it on, it was unsupported. And it was to climb all 46 high peaks in the Adirondack Wilderness in upstate New York. And I completely misunderestimated the challenge in terms of like how tough it was going to be. Like basically like my expectation, again, like don't, expectations that you can tell by the theme of this podcast are probably not the best thing to do. But my expectation of the at the time was that it was going to be a lot easier than it was. And I remember on day one, it was like ankle deep mud. It was raining. It was like super steep grades, like 40% grades up this like slippery rock. And like, I fell in a waterfall. I got carried away by water. Like it was just like this, we were bushwhacking through these like crazy thorns. Like it was wild. And it was just so much for me that I like called it after day one. And I remember waking up that next morning, and like, let me tell you there too, once I quit, like, you know, we got in the car, we went back to the you know, hotel, the Airbnb we were staying at, and we got showered up and like we ate food, and like, that was like what my brain wanted in the moment. And then the next morning we woke up, and I will never forget that, like the morning that I woke up, I remember like feeling this like immediate sense of like shame and regret and like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. Now, I'm not saying beat yourself up after a failure, like it happens, but In that moment, future Joe, that Joe waking up, was very disappointed in the decision that past Joe made in the moment to quit on there as well. So ever since that moment, and that was like 3 years ago, ever since that moment, I've let future Joe make all the decisions when I'm in the moment of struggle. And I truly suggest for you, find your future self and have them consult the decisions that they're going to make for you in the middle of discomfort. So what do I mean by that? When you are in discomfort, right? And all of a sudden you're like, I want to stop here or anything like that. These thoughts come to mind, like bring in, like mentally bring in like your future self and be like, hey, like, What would you do in this scenario, right? And even it's just thinking or just tapping into the mind of your future self and be like, yeah, like if I quit right here, like I would feel like shit tomorrow. Or if I went back to work and I had to tell everybody, like who was gonna ask, how was your race? And I was like, yeah, I had to drop out, right? Or even if it doesn't even have to be dropping out, like if it's like, oh, like if you just like walked it in for like the last 30 miles when you knew damn well you could have run, like, but you walked it in because it was too tough, right? Like, and you know that that's something that's might be disappointing to you. Like it's bringing your future self in there because current you wants to be the one to walk it in. It wants to be the one to take it easy. It wants to be the one that, you know, waste time at the aid station or anything like that, right? But future you does not want you to do that. And it's making decisions based on future you's conscious as opposed to you, current you's conscious, that's going to help you. I feel like Soulja Boy right now just saying all this you, but that's going to help you to ultimately get to where you need to be at the end of the day. So bring your future self into the equation when there's any decision being made, when it's tough, and then you will never get steered wrong. Because let me tell you, you made that decision when you signed up for the race. You let future you make that decision. You let future you made the decision when you trained for the race. Don't let that person out of the decision-making process in the middle of the moment just because you want to spare yourself a little bit of comfort, right? Your future you always has you in the best of mind, right? And in that moment, you need to bring them in and you need to talk with them and you need to make them in the driver's seat so that you wake up the next day and future you, AKA you in that present moment, is gonna be like, man, you did it. That was amazing. I'm so proud of you, right? Make future you proud. You, Soulja Boy. Anyways, in the end of the day, that's what you need to do. So that's like a big tip that's helped me as well. Ever since that Adirondack challenge, I always bring future Joe with me all the time, and he's always steered me in the right direction. And that's you in the end of the day too. It's not, you know, just some figure in the ethers that's, you know, future version of you, or, you know, the ghost of Christmas future. I mean, I guess that could be a cool thing where, like, you know, you have the ghost of ultra marathon in you. I don't know. We're getting ridiculous here. The last kind of tool that I'll kind of break down here, which is also very, very powerful from like a mental perspective, is asking yourself questions in the moment. And you might be like, what the heck? Well, here's a cool, cool thing that I remember learning like early in my days, is that when you ask someone a question, it directs a certain focus. And what you focus on determines on what you feel in the specific moment. So if you are focusing on, oh my gosh, my feet hurt, oh my gosh, my legs hurt, oh my gosh, we have like 60 miles to go. Like if that's what your focus is and you're focusing on that, then yeah, it's gonna be hard. But if you ask yourself different questions in that moment, whether it has to do with the race or whether it has to do with something else, that's going to really help. And this actually really helps when there's like problems that come up, right? So let's just say all of a sudden you get like a hot spot on your foot, right? A hot spot on your foot that comes up. Instead of just being like, why does this always happen to me? You're asking that specific question. What's your focus when you ask that question? Is like, yeah, your focus is like, why is all this crappy shit happening to me? And that obviously is not going to elicit a great reaction. But instead, you can ask the question, what can I do here to help me moving forward, right? And so that is just an inherent switch in question and focus, and that's a more productive focus as opposed to a more nihilist focus where you're just like kind of playing this like, why is everything happening to me, as opposed to just saying, what can I do to fix this, right? But, or instead of just being like, what's wrong with me, you can say, what's great with me? Like, what's strong with me? And, you know, your brain, it might take a few answers to be like, oh, nothing's strong with me right now. And you'd be like, no, that's not the right answer. But you can say like, well, I am moving. It's mile 80. This is the furthest that I've ever gone before. Like, I'm actually really proud that I'm moving. Like, I'm actually eating well. I changed my shoes at the last aid station, which was a very good decision. Like, I'm doing things well, right? So instead of like that questions that are coming in that are generally negative, and sometimes like our brain's going to do that, it's like asking these negative questions, you want to go ahead and ask different questions, right? You can also ask questions like, what's beautiful about this moment right now? What can I be grateful for right now? Like, what is something I'm so proud of right now? What is something that I'm just so excited about this moment, right? What are some times in my life that I've overcome challenges, right? I talk about all that in the confidence episode, is reminding us what we'll do, and that'll be the last thing we kind of talk about in here. But ask yourself better questions and you get better answers, and when you have better answers, you have better focus. And that focus is going to allow you to move forward beyond whatever discomfort or pain you're feeling in the moment and ultimately get through the end of the day. So notice the questions that your brain, if it is throwing at you the negative, and switch those questions. I always say, like, have some power questions out there. And for me, like my power questions, I always have these on dial. The first thing is, what can I do to make this situation better? That's a big thing. Number two is, what can I be grateful for in this moment right now? Number three is, what am I proud about in my life right now? If I ask myself any of those three questions or all three of those questions, I guarantee at least one of them is going to give me that emotional drive to keep moving forward despite what it is, because it's going to shift my focus onto something great as opposed to something that's going to hold me back and ultimately cloud my judgment of what's going forward. So change the questions you ask yourself. Come up with a list of power questions that are going to change your mood. You can even steal mine if you want. I would love if you stole my questions. That's great. And really, hone in on what those power questions are for sure. The last thing that I'll end this episode on is to kind of talking about, and I talk about this a lot in an episode on confidence, which I did recently, which you can listen to the full thing. So I won't go too in depth on this. But in the end of the day, like, when you're faced with like the pain and the challenges, the best thing that you can do to move forward is reminding yourself of all of the challenges that you've done in your life and all the pain that you currently have or you have previously overcome, right? So and they even showed this in the papers that I was mentioned before with the studies that did like showed people getting through the pain cave. One of the biggest things was reminding that they've gone through more difficult things in the past than the thing that they're going through right now. So let's just say, you're in the middle of mile 80 in ultramarathon and it's really tough, but like you got your, I'm just giving out some examples. Like you got your dream job, and you worked hard and you studied for like the interview and you nailed the interview and like you did all these things. And like, that's like a really hard accomplishment compared to an ultramarathon. Like, remind yourself of that. Or maybe like you went through a race that was way harder than the one that you're going through and you overcame all these struggles and all these blisters. And I will say, like, usually if you're doing a first ultramarathon, like, it's probably going to feel a lot harder than like your sixth or seventh or eighth ultramarathon. And at that time, that thing might feel harder than the thing you're going through now. And you can be like, oh my gosh, like, I went from not running an ultra to doing this, and like, I can totally do this. And I think one thing too to always remember, and this always helps me too, is that like, if I get intimidated by the distance, and this is actually a great example for me at Cocodona, I've never run more than 100 miles in one sitting before. And I'm going to be doing 250 miles at Cocodona. That's more than two times the distance. And so a lot of people are like, are you scared about that or anything like that? Of course, like, you think about that and you're like, shit, that's a long time to go. But I always think about this. I say, the first time I heard about someone doing a marathon, like, it blew my mind. And I was like, I don't know if I could ever do that. Like, what the heck? Like, that is so far. That is so ridiculously far. Like, oh my gosh, like, my brain can't even comprehend a marathon. And then I did the marathon, and then I did a 50K, and then a 50 miler, and then a 100 miler. And this is not to toot my horn, but I'm saying you can probably relate to that same thing. Like, you probably thought about a distance, whether it is even 1 or 2 or 5 miles, whatever it is, that you thought was impossible at some point, but you went through and did it. And so always ask the question, again, going back to asking questions and being like, what's different about this moment, right? Now, don't let your brain get into it and be like, yeah, it's much longer. Like, don't let it say that. But what's different about you? Nothing. Like, you have that strength. If you have that strength to get through that in the past, you have the strength to get through that in the moment. And that, in the end of the day, is going to help you to go forward. So I always suggest building a list of different things that you've accomplished in your life, whether it is 100 miles, whether it is being a great parent, whether it is being a great spouse, whether it is, being an absolute stud at work, whether it is, being a great friend, whether it is overcoming addiction, like whatever these things are, you need to remind yourself in the moments when your brain is trying to knock yourself down that you are fucking badass. Like, you are amazing. Like, you did those things. And that is not hype. Again, I'm not the guy to just spew motivation for motivation's sake. I'm the guy that's always about, hey, like, you are going to build real confidence by showing yourself real results. And this is all tangible stuff. It's stuff that you throw at your brain, and your brain's not going to be like, well, that's not true. It's going to be like, well, yeah, fuck, you did that. So it's going to really rationalize with you there. And it's going to be like, oh yeah, that's right. You did go through that challenge and you did make it. You did have the blister feet in that race and you still made it through in the end of the day. You did do that 100-mile race that was way harder than this one. So you can do this. Okay, that's great. Thank you for letting me know. You need to remind your brain who the fuck you are in those moments. And by relishing in your accomplishments, not from like a cocky perspective, but one that has a good sense of just like, just self-love and confidence and like things that you're like, man, like I'm fucking rad. Like you need to be able to really realize that you are rad. And if you're listening to this podcast, especially this far into the episode, an hour into the episode, you are rad because you're learning, you're putting in the work, you're dedicating those things. So I know that every single person listening to this podcast, including you, yes, you, I'm talking to you listening to me right now, you are definitely someone who has every single right and capability to believe in themselves because you've earned the right to do it. You're doing the work, you're being committed, and you're curious, and you wanted to make the best for yourself. So come up with the things, come up with a Rolodex in your mind of the things that you fucking killed it at in your life so you can bring it up in the moments when it gets tough. And I promise you, no matter what challenge, no matter what obstacle, no matter what blister, no matter what, you know, crazy course condition gets thrown at you, you will get it through because you have the power to do so, and you got to remind yourself that you do as well. Boom. That was awesome. Okay. Well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's a little bit of a crash course on how to get through pain in an ultra marathon. I hope this was helpful for you. Also, too, like this is something that I work with athletes too on a one-on-one basis to help them not just train for an ultra marathon, but also get the mindset right into this as well. And what's super cool is we're actually opening up a few more spots for Everyday Ultra coaching. So if you want to be coached to help you in your next ultra marathon, feel free to shoot me an email at everydayultrapodcast@gmail.com, and we will get you on that wait list for when we open up new spots in the coming month. I'm super, super excited for when we do that as well. You get mentored by the team and everything like this, and it's all the philosophies that we talk about here and talk about on the podcast, and we give you training that's going to help you level up to your next ultra as well. And if you have any questions, feel free to shoot me an email at that same address. You can also DM me at Instagram at Joe Corcione. I take a little longer to get back to the DMs, but just know that I'm always happy, and I will eventually get back to you for sure. And I want to say thank you for listening to the podcast, for supporting this, and remember, my friends, go out there and crush your next ultra and believe in you in the end of the day. Build a great relationship with pain. And I promise when you do those things, there is nothing you can't accomplish in this sport. Set your mind big, set your dream big, find those big goals, no matter how scary it is, and you can get through any pain that's going to come along with it, because that's why we do it, folks. We do it for the struggle. Anyways, my friend, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I appreciate you. Remember, be a better endurance athlete every day, and we'll talk real soon.